Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
Many people fear many things in this world today. And depending upon whom we talk to, we will get a wide variety of opinions. And though the list of those fears is a rather long list, a number of those fears can consistently be found among many people. Some of us fear the economic and the political collapse of our nation, even the collapse of the entire world. Some of us fear sickness and disease and pollution. Some fear violence and acts of terrorism and the threat of war that seems to continually hover over us. Some fear natural disasters and the extreme weather conditions that bring devastation and destruction in their wake. While still others fear the moral and the spiritual decay of our society. But what consistently seems to be missing from that list of our fears is the fear of what will happen to us when we die. There is no fear among many people that we will face a holy and a righteous God, and then we will be held accountable for our lives, for why we rejected or we ignored His offer of forgiveness of our sin through the death of His Son, Jesus Christ. Why we ignored His word to us. Even though in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31, we are warned that it is a fearful thing. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God, not as our Savior, but as our judge. For who will be able to stand in that day and escape His wrath? He will bring down the proud. He will uproot the mighty. He will cast away unbelievers from His presence forever. So before we consider rejecting Jesus Christ as our Savior, who is the only way for the forgiveness of our sin, we would be wise to consider this warning. For if we reject His nail-pierced hands, then only His hand of judgment remains for us. Only terror forever. So on this same note, in verse 1 of Psalm 99, the psalmist says this: "The Lord God, the King of all the earth, rules and He reigns. He is still in control of His creation. And so, the days of the reign of evil on this earth are numbered, and they will soon pass away forever. So let the people in the nations, people everywhere, tremble." Rages in Hebrew. "Let them be moved with fear and with trembling. For we are all accountable to God. For He is still enthroned above the cherubim, above the angels of heaven, where day and night they worship Him and they say, 'Holy, holy, Holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, and who is to come. And his kingdom is a kingdom where justice and goodness and righteousness and truth reign. So let the whole earth shake in fear, for our God is worthy to receive glory and honor and praise. For he has created all things, and by his will alone they exist and were created. So let us who belong to the Lord rejoice in devotion and in adoration and in awe. But let unbelievers shake in fear and in terror and in expectation, because time is running out and a day of reckoning is at hand. And in verse 2, the psalmist reminds us that the Lord God is great and mighty in Zion, in Jerusalem, in the place of worship for his people in that day. And he is exalted and lifted up on high, far above all of the people, all of the nations, far above our highest thoughts, far above the heavens. Yet, in his mercy, he reaches down to us in our sin, and he has made a way for us to come to him through Christ Jesus, our Lord. So, in verse 3, the psalmist prays, and he says this: let us praise your great and awesome name, Yahweh in Hebrew, your fearful and holy name. Holy is he. He is set apart. He's sacred. There's no one. There's nothing like him. And in verse 4, the psalmist adds this: the strength of the king, Oz in Hebrew, the stronghold of his righteousness, is that he dearly loves justice, Mishpat in Hebrew. He loves what is right. So who are we to question him? Who are we to call him into account for his actions? For you, O Lord, have established, kun in Hebrew, you have ordained and set in order equity, meshah in Hebrew, evenness, purity, the standard by which all things are measured. And in your power and in your might, you have executed justice. You have brought about that which is good, that which is right, righteousness in Jacob among your people. So in verse 5, the psalmist asks us what is to be our reaction to these things. What are we to do? Well, what are we to do? We are to do what many people today refuse to do. We are to exalt the Lord our God. We are to lift up his name, and we are to worship at his footstool, at his feet. We are to bow down with our face to the ground, and with Christ as our Savior, we are to approach his throne of grace, where we will find mercy and help in our time of need. For holy is he. Holiness is the jewel in his crown of grace. And so, even in our imperfection, even in our failures, which are many, He chooses to save us. He chooses to use us for his glory. So I suppose the question is this. Where are the men today who are to lead the family? Where are the men who are to lead the nations? Where are the leaders? Men like Moses, we are told in verse 6, who stood before the glory of his presence on holy ground on Mount Sinai, and he received the law of God from him. Men like Aaron, who watched as the sacred fire devoured the sin offering on the altar. These were among his priests, his ministers, who prayed for the people. Men like Samuel, who heard the voice of God and he interceded for the sin of the people. These were among those who called upon the name of the Lord. They represented him. They stood in the gap and they pleaded for the people who glorified their sin. They cried out to the Lord so that the people would not be destroyed. They called upon the name of the Lord, it says in verse 6, and he answered them. From the glory of heaven, he spoke to them in the pillar of the cloud in the wilderness. And they kept his testimonies, we're told. Shamer in Hebrew. They guarded his word. Where are the men who seek to guard the truth of his word today? The statute, hook. In Hebrew, what was necessary for them to do? They wanted to follow all that he gave to them, all that he prescribed for them to do. Though like us, at times they failed along the way. Oh, Lord our God, the psalmist says in verse 8, you spoke to them. You answered them, Lord, do not be silent. Speak to us today through your word, for your servants are listening. You were a forgiving God to them, it says, Nasa. You carried the burden of their sin, so forgive our sin. And yet the psalmist points out you were an avenger of their evil deeds. Alelah in Hebrew. You punished their shamefulness. Lord, correct us if we need to be corrected. But bring us back to yourself. Help us not to run after our own opinions, our own ways, the way of the world, our own sin. So that we dim the light of the truth of your word and we disgrace your holy name. We plead for the people. We plead for ourselves. Help us not to glory in our sin and in our rebellion against you. But instead, let us exalt the Lord our God, the psalmist concludes. In verse 9, let us lift up his name and worship at his holy hill in fear and in trembling, for holy is the Lord. So we come to you, Lord, where we will find grace and peace and mercy and forgiveness in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.